following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Live from Progressive.
Flo again, talking about something dear to my heart.
Saving money.
And we have Marcy.
Hi, can I really find other car insurance companies' rates on Progressive.com?
Sure can. It makes rate shopping fast and saving as easy as pie.
Oh, it's got to be easier than that. Ever tried making a pecan pie?
It can get soupy.
Visit Progressive.com to compare rates and start saving today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Comparison rates not available in Massachusetts and certain other states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We've all been there. You jump on the computer right when tickets go on sale. And even if you get tickets, you get best available. No choice, no selection. Just best available. That's why so many fans use StubHub, the world's largest fan-to-fan ticket marketplace. On StubHub, you'll always find a great selection of seats. And you get to choose the seats you want. So you can actually sit where you want to sit. So for your next game or concert, head to StubHub and choose your seats today. StubHub!
Do you ever get tired of listening to Doug and Daddy talk sports? Do you enjoy singing with your friends? Do you wish you could sing with Doug and Daddy? Like any other pair of cueless celebrities, Doug and Daddy are going to try to make a little extra money with their own karaoke album. Take a listen to some of their favorites.
So I put my hands up, they're playing our song, the butterflies fly away.
Well, I had the time of my life, no one ever felt this way before. I swear.
You like it, then you should have put a ring on it. Don't get mad when you feel the feeling on it. To the end of the road. Teenage dream, the way you turn me on.
Yeah, we don't ever have to play that again.
Come as you are.
Would you quit it?
Yeah, let's stick with sports.
You do realize you made a mistake, right?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the guy that invented tartar sauce.
Who the hell invented tartar sauce?
Merritt, look it up for us, because we don't have a clue.
Well, while I do that, let's go to the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Friday. And we are full, if everything goes well today, of course. You know, it's been one of those back-and-forth weeks, but a lot's been going on. And today we will talk with Mark Waller of Lincoln North Star. He's the head coach of the North team in the Shrine Bowl, which you can hear tomorrow night on Classic Hits 98.9, pregame at 6:20, kickoff at around 6:40. And now I see that they are going to televise it again on Nebraska Educational Television. I think it's been a while. I haven't really checked. There was a time there where they didn't televise it, but it's nice that it's also available radio and TV for you tomorrow. Also on the show, we'll be talking with Derry Trampy about the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel tomorrow in Grand Island at Grand Island Senior High at 1. Then they'll have the Hall of Fame banquet tomorrow night at 5, and that is going on at Riverside Golf Club. It's cool that they can put all that together on the same day. They'd had that in Columbus for ever since I can remember, which was always great, but this time they can tie it all together. Plus, Steve Pivovar of the Omaha World Herald will join us. He had a little dental emergency yesterday, which can't be good for anybody, but he's okay. And he is in Corvallis, Oregon, getting ready for Creighton and Georgia this afternoon at 3. And we'll talk to him about Darren Erstad, Creighton, and the NCAA tournament, because I think he follows it closer than anybody in the state, obviously. But obviously the highlight of the day is Seth Blank from the Kearney Hub, co-hosting on the program today.
I thought the highlight of the day was Darren Erstad's the savior of Nebraska baseball.
Well, the highlight's Daddy's not here.
That is true.
Daddy is trying to defend his fishing tournament title, and he has never told me that there is actually, like, a title to this, you know. There's the, you know, whatever it is. But he's fishing at Johnson Lake this weekend, and somehow he was on the right team last year because, obviously, Buck Bertrand was the all-star and catcher of big fish.
But there are no photos or trophies or anything to document this.
Yeah.
So it's a vacation day for Daddy.
Yeah, I think Daddy had a golden net. He's pre-fishing. It's like a practice round.
So if I could take a Friday off, I would, too. I can't blame the guy.
Well, welcome in, Seth, and thank him for being on the show. Of course, you can always check him out on the website at kearneyhub.com for Blank versus the World, where you recently took an ass-whooping.
Yeah. Jeff Sylvester, luckily, is a friend of mine. I thought he might take it easy after he got up 8-9-1, but no. He's a competitor. I thought I would do better. I guess I tip my hat to Jeff. He didn't cheat like I thought he might, but he laid it on me hardcore.
A 15-1 racquetball beatdown, and that was fun. Drake Baronic, you put him up on the first one on a punt, pass, and kick. They both beat you. Your lone win was in bowling?
No, golf.
In golf.
We went playoff holes with Rustin Dring. First time I'd been out all year. Rustin shows up. He's got his golfer's attire on. I'm in my rugged clothes. And I go out there and somehow find a way to win. So, and about Drake, we may get together again and do something. I'd like a rematch after. I mean, that competition didn't go as we had planned.
Yeah, he's 4 yards away in his punt and his pass to boot it over the. Do we know what's coming up next? What's the next edition will be? I know you're looking to take on a female competitor, which, of course, you're trying to take on athletes or collegiate athletes in their non-sport. You're not going to wrestle Jeff Sylvester. You're not going to play basketball against Drake.
I got Tyler Shields and I were supposed to do tennis, however, the rain last week put a damper on that, so we did a little something called cup stacking. That, I think, is on the website today. And for next week, I have a date set Monday with Jerrica Pearson from Gibbon. We're going to do a little competition. I won't tell you what it is. Just yet. You have to go to the website and find it on. It'll be up probably Wednesday evening.
I hope it doesn't involve any speed or leaping.
Well, no, I'm not that dumb. that involves me losing again.
Obviously, the big story, which broke yesterday during the lunch hour, was Darren Erstad being hired as Nebraska's baseball coach. This is different for everybody, and I think we're going to change our web question for the weekend, whether folks let's just put that up during the show, Merritt. I'm sorry I didn't get that to you, but do you think Darren Erstad is the right hire for Nebraska? I think that's the best way to put it, because we all know Darren Erstad's a good person, a good man, a good ball player. And as he admitted during the press conference yesterday, he knows he doesn't have everything it takes to be a coach because he's only been a volunteer. He's only been a coach this last year with Nebraska, and they didn't pan out.
And he was their hitting coach. I mean, volunteer hitting coach. And if you look at Nebraska's hitting numbers, they weren't too good. I have them. I looked yesterday. They ranked 224 out of 292 teams in team batting average. They hit 269. And if you watched yesterday's press conference, Darren said the same thing, you know, that he was a hitting coach and they weren't good.
Yeah, he said he also went on to say, I was trying to think of myself more as a swing coach. It was up to them to make contact. I guess your initial thoughts on Darren Erstad being Nebraska's next baseball coach.
I was a little bit surprised. Now, I think it's a popular hire. I mean, he was loved here as a punter, as a baseball player. A lot of Nebraskans think of Darren Erstad as one of their own. The question I have is, can he coach? I mean, we don't know yet. The kids can like him now, but it's easy to like an assistant coach. He's not the guy in charge of your playing time. When you get into that head coaching role, there's a lot more responsibility, and everything falls on your shoulder. You're not the confidant that you can be as an assistant when things aren't going well with the head coach and to help out the kid get along. Now, I think Darren, he has the right attitude. I mean, he's no BS, if I can say that on the radio.
Yeah,
I think
he's going to be pretty humble.
Yeah, he's going to be humble, and he's going to be blue-collar, and that's what you're going to need. I mean, I don't think Nebraska is capable of getting the top baseball recruits in the nation. And to make kids better, you got to get 9 guys on the field who want to play, who are going to give it their all. And in baseball, it's like a lot of sports. You get some team continuity going. You know, you get the players playing for each other. You can be better than what you're expected to be, and I guess that's yet to be seen. I wish Darren Erstad the best of luck. I don't want to see a coach fail, but the question I wonder is, how is this better than Mike Anderson? I mean, Mike started off well at Nebraska. Everybody liked him in the last 3 years, not making the Big 12 tournament, started to sour everybody's feelings about him, but Mike at least had some coaching experience. I mean, to hire the guy who's the volunteer assistant, I mean, he wasn't even an actual, I guess, upper assistant on the team.
Yeah, I think Darren, I mean, he donated $1 million to the school, so he is going to be philanthropic and not request a high salary because he's set. He doesn't need the salary. He doesn't need to make his living by coaching, which in one aspect might be good, that there's no pressure on him from that side of things, but every coach wants to do well to keep their job, most importantly, and then to succeed and move on up. And I don't think Darren Erstad has any of that in his corner. I think the interesting thing is it's going to be the guys he hires as assistant coaches, because everybody knows these have to be great hires. He's got to get a good pitching coach. He's got to get somebody on staff that can recruit, because he can say, yeah, I played in the majors and I played at Nebraska. Right. And you can go to the majors from Nebraska, and I'm from North Dakota. So if you can make it in the majors from North Dakota High School to Nebraska College and play as the number one pick in the draft, then I can draft it. I can pick up any recruit anywhere, and you have a chance here at the University of Nebraska. The one thing that sticks out to me is I think, and I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it's wrong, but Tom Osborne, as the athletic director, has known who he's wanted in every hire he has made and has apparently made no concessions to really look outside of what he wanted. Now, he can say he interviewed five or six guys. Fine. Obviously, Darren Erstad was his pick all along, because the timing of the hire is what just blows me away. You could have named Darren Erstad the head coach the day after Mike Anderson left, which would have looked fishy. I understand that. But if you were seriously looking at other candidates, you wouldn't have to say that Darren Erstad was your coach until 2 weeks from now to the College World Series.
If I can butt in, Doug, to that point in the press conference yesterday, you know, he said he was going to bring two candidates into town to go through the interview process, show them around. And once Darren Erstad came in and he knew Darren was interested in the job, he told the other guy not to come.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you right there that Darren Erstad was the guy he wanted.
He wanted Darren Erstad. He wanted Bo Pelini to coach the football team.
He also wanted Frank Solich to coach football team. Let's not forget that.
Well, true. That's true. But it will be interesting. It's an interesting hire, and it will immediately get some talk about it in the Big Ten, although I noticed, and I didn't go past 5 o'clock yesterday, the hire of Darren Erstad was not on the Big 12 or Big Ten website yesterday, at least not before 5 o'clock, and I haven't checked this morning, which I thought was interesting, because that stuff is immediate. It's immediate. If it goes up on any website, television, radio, newspaper, it's on the conference website. Nebraska's logo is still on the Big 12 website, but anytime anything comes up, and now, since everything's over, I'm waiting to see. It's July 1st. That's when the official changeover is in. When they send us a press release from the Big Ten, and it has all the logos at the bottom, Nebraska's on there. But you go to their website, Nebraska's not on there. It remains on the Big 12. But yet, when they talked about anybody getting an award or a football thing, it didn't mention Nebraska at all. So they're a lame duck university now.
It's just a formality. I mean, everybody knows where they're going. If it's just time that they're waiting for the official changeover, I don't think that's that big a deal.
Curtis Ledbetter, the only member of the staff that will remain. And, again, he had ties to the university. The rest of the guys really didn't.
Well, and there's rumor of Will Bolt possibly being an assistant, another guy tied to the university, played in Nebraska.
He better be able to recruit, because he's not a pitching coach, and he's not going to be a grad assistant. So, I mean, if Will Bolt's coming, he's got to be able to recruit, according to what Darren Erstad said yesterday. I need a pitching coach, I need a stud recruiter, and I've got to find a grad assistant. Well, Will Bolt's already done the grad assistant role at A&M. He's not going to be a grad assistant here, and he's not a pitching coach. So if Will Bolt's your hire as an assistant coach, he better be able to recruit, because that's why you'd be bringing him in. Again, I don't know how much coaching gets done on that collegiate level. You better know how to play baseball, and then they're going to work you through the fundamentals more and more and more. But fine-tuning some things, you need to know how to pitch, you need to know how to hit, and we'll see if Will Bolt does come. I think it would be a step up from being the being assistant coach at Nebraska as opposed to the head coach at Texarkana College. One more baseball note of local interest. Winona State won again last night, the team that eliminated UNK in the regional championship. And remember, the Lopers beat them the first game, and then Winona beat them the next two. Winona State tomorrow plays for the national championship.
Scary, huh? I mean, that's how close UNK could be.
And potentially,
now,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, obviously, just because UNK lost to them, and they did beat them once in that regional, doesn't mean UNK automatically would be playing in the championship. But it does show that they're on that level and they can play with the top teams in the nation.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget to send in your email here. We've got about 20 minutes left in the second half of the show to try out for our Big Dally Deli combo. All you have to use is Bullet, Sunny, and Investigate. If you use those words, three words, any way you want in an email, send it to the Debt Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Sunny, Bullet, Investigate will draw out our winner of the week coming up in the second half of the show. Still to come, Mark Waller of Lincoln North Star to talk about the Shrine Bowl, Steve Pivovar of the Omaha World Herald to talk all baseball, including the NCAA tournament. Up next, we'll talk wrestling, Terry Trampy, and the All-Star Duel in Grand Island tomorrow.
The following is a radio advertisement for Mountain Dew.
Hey, you want a Mountain Dew?
Sure, thanks. Man, this tastes awesome.
This has been an advertisement for Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is a great-tasting, citrus-charged soft drink. Mountain Dew is only for people bold enough to live life on their own terms. Do not drink Mountain Dew if you are timid, easily frightened, or strive to blend in, as the refreshing charge of Mountain Dew may cause you to try new things. Do not combine Mountain Dew with lame stuff. Do not drink Mountain Dew in excess, unless you want to. Side effects may include spontaneity, laughter, fierce individuality, an unbridled sense of enthusiasm, better taste in music, and a severe lack of boredom. Do not taunt Mountain Dew. Use caution when combining Mountain Dew with serene activities such as yoga, meditation, sheep counting, or watching paint dry. In the rare case that a bottle of Mountain Dew lasts for more than 4 hours, it may need some ice, because it's probably warm.
Side effects are different on the mountain. Mountain Dew, it's different on the mountain.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grand Island has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
We'll see skies turn partly sunny across the area today with high temperatures in the mid-80s. Winds also turn to the north, staying around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Now there's an isolated chance of seeing a shower storm develop tonight with a low of 60. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Right now, 81.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. If you're going out looking for a new or pre-owned certified vehicle, then check them out at Midway Chevy Buick Cadillac or Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and check out their new hassle-free pricing. Every new and certified pre-owned vehicle, clearly priced, so you don't have to waste time with grueling negotiations. You can feel confident that you got the best price. And when you pick that up, it doesn't end there. Lifetime of car washes. Your first year's maintenance is free, and they take care of you on their website. You can look at, like I said yesterday, you go to the website, you pick out the two vehicles, the five vehicles that you're interested in, you see something about them, you go to the dealership, they got the hassle-free pricing right up there. You hardly even need one of those salesmen or women to talk to. All you got to do is sign the paperwork. It's that easy. It's hassle-free, folks, at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Think hassle-free. Think Midway. And, of course, the great website, thinkmidway.com, there for you all weekend. There is so much going on this weekend. You've got All-Star Mike Trader Hastings area All-Star basketball game is tomorrow night. You've got the Shrine Bowl tomorrow, but tomorrow afternoon it's the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel, and one of the coaches on the West squad is Derry Trampy of the Ord Chanticleers, and why not bring in, you know, one of the top coaches in the entire state to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, what's up?
Oh, not too much, Doug. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, it's great to have you on. Seth Blank from the Kearney Hub co-hosted with me today because Big Daddy is scared to talk wrestling, so you know how that goes. But
yeah, I know how that goes.
Derry, you've been able to put a little bit of practice in this week, so you've got, I would think, a pretty good handle on what these kids look like. You've got some very good kids, obviously, or they wouldn't be here. Your thoughts on the West team so far?
I'm kind of impressed with what we have. You know, we had a tough time getting a few kids in, and there's some kids that we'd like to have. But like you said, as you said earlier, the Shrine Bowl going on, the Western Nebraska All-Star game out in Scotts Bluff, kind of took some of the kids away that we'd like to have, but I've been impressed with the practice. It's kind of like being a spoiled child. You know, you sit in there and you tell kids to do something, and everyone can do it, and they all get at it right away and work really hard. They've worked very, very hard so far.
Now, I got a question for you, Derry. Traven Claflin from SEM, Christian Nielsen mm-hmm. from Wood River. Are those guys just in better shape than everyone else? I see they're each wrestling two matches.
they're kind of in a tough situation. It's a situation where the East squad had some kids that didn't show up, and so we wound up having them have to double up on kids. And then our other kid that was going to be at 119 is a little bit heavy, so he's going to wrestle up at 125, and then that gets him a pair up that way. So, yeah, and that, not only that, those guys are just tougher.
I say those are two good guys to wrestle two matches
for
you.
Yeah. They're very good kids. I tell you what, Christian's pretty impressive to watch, and Traven Claflin. You talk about kids that work hard. Him and Garrett Lambert from Wood River. Watching those two practice together in the room is just incredible because they go at a whole different speed than maybe the rest of the group does.
We had Dean Boyer from Plainview on the show yesterday, and I asked him the same question I'm going to pose to you. With all of the hoopla that was made with Central and so-called Western Nebraska winning all four state championships, I asked him if the East was going to use that as motivation to show that they still have some good wrestlers. Does the West have something still to prove tomorrow?
Oh, you know, I think you always do, and no matter how you look at it, it's always kind of a grudge match thing anyhow. You know, it's a friendly grudge match, but I think there's always something to prove in the process that we've got some good kids. You know, we've got, and I think from our standpoint, you know, a lot of our kids are from Class D schools. I think we were counting up, we had 10 kids from Class D schools that got on the team this year, and for them it's kind of a proving ground, you know, wrestling against a B and C kid or an A kid and proving that they can wrestle with them and hang with them. So there's always that little bit of looking, I don't know how to say it, looking in the mirror and saying, I'm tough enough to go with these guys and this is what I want to do.
I did a story for today's paper talking to some kids at the Shrine Bowl, and they were telling me how intense practices were down there. Is it the same thing at this All-Star Wrestling Duel? I mean, are the kids taking this serious? Is it like a regular season practice going 100% all the time?
Yeah, it is, and it maybe even is a little bit more because I think the practice partners they have are just better than what you can get in your own room. I mean, you get 20 kids in there that are all state medal winners and you start practicing, and every one of them has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and wants to make sure that they know they're still pretty first, so they go pretty hard while they're in there and really get after each other. And, you know, we had to kind of tone it back a little bit so we didn't get too many kids hurt before we got into the meet and stuff because they were going at it pretty hard the first day or so, and they're not quite in wrestling shape when they come back into those things. You know, even if they've been out for track or whatever and had about three or four kids, so I'm just a golfer, so I'm not sure I'm in enough shape to go yet. So we got them work in that direction. But I think you see a lot of that intensity in the room. And, again, it's that kind of proving ground thing between both sets of kids.
Derry Trampy, Ord Wrestling Coach with the Western team on the Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star Duel tomorrow in Grand Island. The pairings were kind of drawn out or made up last night. Mm-hmm. Derry, what's a couple that really stand out? Where do you think we're going to see a couple of great matches, at least on paper?
Well, I think looking on paper, we were talking about this last night too, 133, Zach Reese from Kearney and Brown from, and this is the sad part, I don't know where most of these kids are from on the East squad, but I believe he's from
Plattsmouth.
Yeah. From Plattsmouth. That should be a good matchup. Another real interesting matchup that I'm looking at is Glaus and Schroeder, Glaus from Palmer and Schroeder from Omaha West Side, and then also 41, Noah Gable from Kearney and the Cassick kid from Schuyler. Those should be some pretty good matchups to watch. the Billy Leach and Taron Boyer. I'm Boyer kid from Plainview and Leach from GI. That one looks like a good matchup. And then I'm really anxious to see how Trenton Claflin does. He's impressed me in practice, and he's got two tough matches. I mean, Lang and Hendrickson are both good kids. I thought that one was an interesting matchup. And then I'm kind of looking forward to watching the Justin Romeo from Medicine Valley and Mo Winkle from Loganview. I think that'll be a good matchup to watch as well. So those are some that are it's really hard to get a handle on who you thought was going to win those matches. So it'll be fun to watch those and see how they come out.
And, Derry, every year there's a different set of coaches and a different set of kids, but this is really the first time that everybody's come in and actually had a camp and stayed overnight. They tried to get together for practices at a central location for many years, once or twice. What's it been like the last couple of days having everybody there and staying there?
I tell you what, I was a little hesitant when they were talking about it. You know, you still got to watch kids and stuff, but this has been really good. I think one of the things that's nice about this is a lot of the kids that are on the team are not just the better wrestlers, but they're also good students, and they're pretty goal-oriented kids, so they get themselves to bed at night when they need to get to bed. And it's been, to me, it's been a great experience. I mean, we've gotten to do some things with the kids last night. We took them out to the shooting range out at the Heartland shooting range and had a shooting competition with them and stuff, and found out I still can't hit anything. I think I had some suicidal blue rocks that flew in front of the shells that I was shooting. But the kids had a great time out there. And, you know, we spent 2-3 hours out there last night, and it's just a good bonding thing. I think the thing that's always cool about this, and we talked about it with the other coaches, we're talking about it too, is how quickly these kids become friends with each other. You know, they wrestle against each other all year, and then they get together in a situation like this, and they kind of become friends, and they really get along well. And today I know they're doing a charity thing at Hope Harbor. I had to do a presentation yet this afternoon, and so I had to leave from that. But they're doing a charity thing where they're helping out at Hope Harbor, cleaning some stuff out and moving some boxes and things for them. And I think that's just a good experience for the kids. You know, I think things like that that can teach kids how to be part of a community and how to be part of a group and work with other people is really a rewarding experience. So I think this is a great move by the Coaches Association to do it this way. And hopefully they'll continue to do it. I know we've been talking about it. I'm pretty sure it's going to be something they continue to do now for the next several years. And it'll become a little bit bigger deal for the kids. We'll have more kids that hopefully want to be interested in wrestling on the duels.
Well, Derry, we appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. And hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. And best of luck to the West team.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Doug. And appreciate all the coverage you guys do for wrestling and stuff throughout the year and through this All-Star Duel as well. You guys do a great job for us.
Thanks, buddy. Derry Trampy, head coach of the Ord Chanticleers on the Doug and Daddy Show. Seth Blank filling in for the Big Daddy today. I'm glad that they moved the Shrine football game. We're going to talk to Mark Waller, Lincoln North Star next. They moved it up, and then it fell on the same day as the 8-man All-Star game, which was a disaster because somebody wasn't paying attention. And now they've moved it up with the sole purpose of trying to get as many kids, and they have. They've kept a lot more of the kids that are going to college. I think there's 9 kids that are going to play for the Huskers, either scholarship or walk-on, that are in the Shrine Bowl. But, boy, I mean, there's, as Derry said, there's 4 things that we know about
there's
that's
more than
going
4.
On tomorrow. I mean, there's some last night. There's some tonight.
You got the West Nebraska games out in Scotts Bluff. You got the football and the volleyball. You got the Shrine Bowl. You got this wrestling. I mean, it's like it's All-Star weekend, I swear. Yeah. And it's almost a nightmare because not everybody's going to be able to attend maybe one or two events that they wanted to see. I mean, if you wanted to see the wrestling and the Shrine Bowl, I think you could make that happen. You might have to leave wrestling a little early. That starts at 1.
Yeah.
Shrine Bowl starts at 6:30. But, I mean, I don't know what the answer is. Is it less All-Star games? People don't want to do that, and there's a reason why. I mean, they raise money for good causes, and that's always something you want to see. The problem is it's limited to graduated high school seniors, and when you have All-Star games, a bunch of them on the same weekend, does it water down your roster? Probably so, but it's a good experience for the kids. I mean, the games themselves, they don't mean a whole lot you know, in the big scheme of things other than the money raised and having friendships, things like that. But the score doesn't really matter.
They're supposed to have fun. They're supposed to have fun. Next week, you've got the Shrine Soccer Classic in Hastings. You got the Nebraska Kidney Association New West All-Star Classic that's going to be going on in Minden with the boys basketball one night, girls basketball one night, volleyball next night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We've been associated with that. That's fun. I feel bad for the kids that are expected to play. You know, you're a good athlete, and all of a sudden six All-Star games, won't you? And none of them are – you got the Coaches Association that's coming up in July. I mean, your premier ones, your ones that involve the whole state. And hopefully, like you said, everybody can make a little money for all the charities that they're putting these on for, and the kids can continue to have fun. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk about the Shrine Bowl with Mark Waller right after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. In business today, people are on the go, you know that. Whether they're working from home, a different office, or traveling, it's almost impossible to get everybody in the same room for a meeting. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. Everybody can meet online. Doesn't matter where you are. GoToMeeting.com allows you to collaborate on documents in real time, like being in the same room. It's so easy. Get started with GoToMeeting in just minutes. Attendees can join with just a click. Plus, you can hold as many online meetings as you want for as long as you need for a low, flat monthly rate. How cool is that? And free phone conferencing and voice over IP included. GoToMeeting.com. Try it free for 45 days, just for my listeners. That's an additional 15 days if you use the promo code ESPN. For this special extended trial offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code ESPN. In business today, people are on the go. You can't get them in the same room. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days and be sure to type in ESPN. GoToMeeting.com.
I'm former Husker and 1992 Shrine Bowl participant Chris Dishman. I'm inviting you and your family to attend the 53rd annual Shrine Bowl. It's your last chance to see Nebraska's top high school players. Proceeds support Shriners Hospitals for Children. Currently, over 1,000 Nebraska families benefit annually from Shrine Hospital care at no cost to them or their family. Please join me at Memorial Stadium, 6:30 on June 4th, or visit neshrinebowl.org for more information or to purchase advance tickets.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see skies turn partly sunny across the area today with high temperatures in the mid-80s. Winds also turn to the north, staying around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Now there's a nice little chance of seeing a shower storm develop tonight with a low of 60. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Right now, 81.
Sexy fan, just pardon my manners. Girl, how you shake it, gotta play a life. It's a Kodak moment, let me go and get my camera. All I wanna know is...
Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Goodell, along with Seth Blank from the Kearney Hub, filling in for the big fella today. Don't forget all the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, taken care of by our friends at BK. Is all this true?
It's all true.
You kidding me? Free drink when you buy a Whopper or, and I can't believe this, we should have called it the Big Daddy Whopper, but they call it the Angry Whopper.
That is the Big Daddy Whopper.
The Angry Whopper.
He's angry.
I'm going to try the Angry Whopper. Outstanding. How about a spicy chicken sandwich for just a dollar? And join them on Facebook. You can always find out more about what's going on at BK, the great deals, and take the kids out there for an icy frozen Coke or cherry, all sizes. Now just a dollar. Don't have to be a kid either to have those. They're pretty good. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Andy Murray knocked off by Rafael Nadal, or Rafael Nadal does what he's supposed to do and wins. And now Djokovic and Federer are playing, which could be the best match of the French Open. Last night, what do you have about the NBA? What are your thoughts on the NBA, the game last night? I thought Dallas, this is how they were going to win ball games in the final. 1-2, determination, sellout. It was a game of runs last night. Both teams went on major runs last night. Dallas went on the last major run and won the ball game. How it happened, I guess I just don't care. It's 1-1 like I thought it would be.
I think Miami thought they had it won.
Yeah.
Miami thought they had it won. I thought they had it won. I think everybody did. You know, they were cruising there in the fourth quarter up by double digits, and they just forgot who they were down the stretch. I mean, there was one possession. LeBron James takes a three. They get an offensive rebound. Take another three. They get an offensive rebound. They take another three, and they miss it. And I believe that's the one when Dallas went the other way and tied it with the layup.
I couldn't believe how much isolation and one-on-one Dallas was doing. They feel the only way that they can score is a pick three or clearing it out. And not just for Dirk. Dirk only had 24 last night, but just clearing it out, getting it in, and trying to back down and shoot turnaround jumpers.
Oh, but he was unstoppable there in the fourth. Wasn't that fun to watch? I mean, the guy, like you said, he wasn't having a great game. I think he was 6-18 before he hit his last four shots. And I call him the goat-faced assassin. But the one when he hit that three to put Dallas up by three, I thought that was a backbreaker. You know, I thought that game was over. Chalmers comes down, hits another three to tie it. I'm just glad Dallas won. I'm tired of the heat.
Well, and again, as I've said on the show, I'm on the other side. I know I'm in the minority. Everybody was bashing the Heat. But I also, if Dirk wins, I mean, and that's what I say. It's not if Dallas wins. It's if Dirk wins. And not because he's the whole team, but because he's the only person anybody associates with the Dallas Maverick. He's paid his dues. So however it goes, I think Miami is still the better team. They go to Dallas. I said they're going to win in six. That means they have to win two there, which I think they can, which I think they will. I think they're all going to be tight ball games, so it could go either way. And everybody today would just be saying, I mean, people were saying it was over. I just got so disgusted with people saying, oh, it's over after one. No, it's not.
The NBA loves this. Oh. I mean, people are interested in the series. Again, if Miami had they won last night, especially by double figures, the way things were going, there wouldn't have been much of a crowd at our TV audience at Game 3.
Game 3 Sunday night here on ESPN Radio. Well, tomorrow night it is the 53rd annual Shrine Bowl, which you can hear on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9, kicking off about 6:35. Complete coverage of the ball game and on our websites as well, and giving us a chance to catch up with what the North will be showing is the head coach from Lincoln North Star and the head coach of the North team, Mark Waller, of course, with plenty of ties to Central Nebraska. And Coach, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. And again, congratulations on the honor of coaching in the Shrine game.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We had a chance to see your team grow, and you don't get as much time to get a team together and grow, but when you've got great kids at every position, it's got to be different. What's it been like coaching an all-star team that's one of the two best in the state? Because you in the South, I would assume, are pretty even.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's a tremendous honor and a privilege to be part of the Shrine Bowl game and to coach these student-athletes. And we've had a good week, and we're excited for tomorrow night.
Coach, we asked earlier this week Randy Hubert about the moving up of the game. Where do you see the benefits or anything that might not be a benefit of playing this early?
I think it's just a lot of pros to it. Number one, you get the game out of the way early in June. We were fortunate to have all 35 athletes we selected go ahead and commit, and they're in the game. And that way they're able to play the game and still make their commitments to their college programs and wherever they're going to go this summer. So it seemed like kids came into shape in good condition, too. You know, you have a lot of kids coming off a track, and so I think there's just a lot of pros and a lot of pluses to moving the game up and playing it early.
You've got a couple of your own kids that you know a lot about, including in your quarterback in Brady Bowles that's coming along here. Talk about leaning on those kids and how much you're going to use them in the game on Saturday.
Well, you know, I'm sure Randy feels the same on the South, but I think it's an advantage if you're able to bring your quarterback with you to the Shrine Bowl game. They know your system. They know what you want to do and what you like to do. And, you know, Brady had a good career for us in North Star, and he's had a great camp so far. He's shown a lot of great leadership. He's got some athletic ability. He throws the ball very well. So it's just nice being able to have your quarterback who knows your system. And Casey Malafu is going to be playing some offensive guard and defensive end for us, and he's had a good camp as well. So,
you got 35 kids. Is there ever a concern in an all-star game that you're not deep where you want to be, or that you're not going to get everybody in like you want to?
You know, I think at any all-star game or even at your high school programs, there's always a little bit of a concern if you have enough depth up front, both offensively and defensively. But we've had some kids step up, and we've been able to plug a few kids in. And, you know, we like our kids up front. We feel like their athleticism is pretty good. So, but, you know, we're pleased with all 35 kids in camp, and everyone's going to play. They practiced well, and they practiced hard, and so we're excited to get them out on the field Saturday night.
We're talking with Mark Waller of Lincoln North Star, head coach of the North team in Saturday night's Shrine Game, which you'll hear on 98.9 FM Classic Hits. Not as many kids from our immediate listening area are on the North squad, but there are three, the two Grand Island kids and Nolan Kawada and Dan Sotelo. And then you've got a Nebraska kid that's going to go to the Huskers and Jack Gangwish of Wood River. What can you tell us about what you've seen out of those kids in particular?
You know, those three young men have had a great camp. Dan and Nolan out of GI, they've came into camp and done a great job for us. Dan's really been a solid force in the defensive line. Nolan's going to play a little bit on both sides of the ball. He's going to start at corner and play some receiver for us. And Jack's had a great camp. He's a young man that no one really knew about. We saw him on film during the evaluation process. We liked his size, but most importantly, we really liked how Jack played. He had a great motor, and his effort was good. And he's going to be a heck of a player. You know, I think he's got a chance to play in Nebraska. He's going to have a big game for Saturday night. Those three gentlemen from Central Nebraska, they're going to do a good job for us in the Shrine Bowl game. I do know that.
Mark Waller with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mark, a lot of people believe that the North roster is set up to be a power running attack. And you've got Dylan Lushen of Columbus, who I think has grown 4 inches according to the program here. And then, of course, you got Wynn Jr. out of Creighton Prep, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Talk about the running game and how you plan on implementing that.
Yeah, we're gonna run the ball, but yet, you know, we feel like it's important that we're balanced. So we'll try to see, you know, if we can get some movement up front, hand the ball off. Richard's a heck of a back out of Creighton Prep, and you mentioned Dylan. We've got another back out of Omaha Betts and Cleo Miller, who's had a good camp for us. So, but we got some guys that can throw it. Brady Bowles is a young man who throws the ball well, and we got some good receivers. So. We're going to see what we can do in terms of not only being able to run it, but we'll throw it too. We'll throw the ball a little bit too.
Mark, we've talked about quite a few kids already, but one of my favorite questions when we get into an all-star game is who has caught your eye that maybe you never have seen play before but has got your attention here in this week of practice?
Well, you know, there's multiple kids that have stepped up. I'm going to start defensively with our eight-man selection, Corey Brusher out of Howes. He's came into camp. And that young man, even though he's been at the eight-man level, he could play. He could play at any level. He's had a good camp. And I've already mentioned Jack Gangwish. That kid has a motor. Not too many people knew about Jack, but he's had a good camp. We have a young man on our team named Devin Bass out of Millard, North Carolina, Ohio. That young man, he's a great player. He's got tremendous speed, a lot of athleticism. He's very explosive. He's had a good camp. Chris Long, a young man out of Blair, who's walking on in Nebraska, he's a good football player. He's going to be starting at left tackle for us offensively. But I can name a number of kids that have came in and just kind of caught our eyes by their athleticism and how they've performed right or for us so far.
Mark Waller with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show, head coach of the North from Lincoln North Star in this Saturday night Shrine game. We spoke with Randy before the trip to the hospital, but of course you've already made that trip out there with your team. And one of the requirements to be a head coach is you've had to be an assistant, so you've been through it before. But I have to imagine that each time it's a different emotion. What was the trip like?
Yeah, each time you go, it's very special. It's just an eye-opening experience. It was great for our players to go up there and visit the hospital and see, you know, what the hospitals do around the country for children that are disabled. And, you know, you get a firsthand look of everything they go through on a daily basis. We were with a young patient who was without a limb, and, you know, she's got to get up every day and get dressed with one arm and brush her hair and tie her shoes. But it was just a great experience. The flight was good. It kind of puts everything into perspective why we're playing the game to help raise money for the Children's Hospital.
What's the attitude of the players, or what's that first practice back from the hospital like compared to what it was before you went out there?
It's pretty energetic. They come back with more of a purpose, more focus, and a better understanding of why we're playing the game. So, like I said, it was a great trip. They had a great experience, and they're excited to play the game tomorrow night.
Well, it should be outstanding. Mark, we appreciate your time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Good luck in the game, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you when the high school season gets going this fall.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Again, tomorrow night's game, 6:30 on Classic Hits 98.9. Our pregame will come your way at, of course, 6:20. Kickoff about 6:40 tomorrow from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. If you miss any of our interviews on the Doug and Daddy Show, go to the podcast. Brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and the Law, ESPNSuperStation.com. We've had both head coaches for the Shrine. We've had two coaches for the All-Star Wrestling Duel this week. We've talked Nebraska baseball. We've had a whole lot more. Adam Rittenberg, blogger from the Big Ten Network, Big Ten and ESPN.com, joined us yesterday, Shelley Smith, to talk about Shaq's retirement. He has his press conference coming up here in just a little bit. At the French Open, in the first set, Djokovic and Federer on serve. Djokovic leading Federer 5-4 earlier. Nadal, a straight set, although close, 6-4, 7-5, 6-4 winner over Andy Murray. Seth Blank in on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Kearney Hub, filling in for Big Daddy today. Tomorrow, big day, the Kearney Hub Athletes of the Year.
Yes.
Did you want to divulge those today?
Huge day. I'll be laying those out tonight as I put together tomorrow's paper.
What'd you think? Every year, sometimes it's tough because there's two or three or four kids that deserve it and are above standard. Sometimes it's tough because there were no above-standard kids setting records and making milestones, and so you got three or four that are pretty even to choose from. What did you think this year?
Well, there's always kids, I think, that deserve it. I mean, it's the area's best athletes. You have kids always vying for that position. This year, the boys' selection was easier than it's been in the past. Meanwhile, the girls' selection was tough. I guess I can list a few of the finalists. You know, we're thinking of Carly Henry from Cozad. She's an all-state pitcher. She won two all-class golds in track in the shot and disc. There's Jerrica Pearson from Gibbon. Good volleyball player, good basketball player. Now her season was cut short due to a knee injury, but she come back, and she won triple jump gold at a state. You got a girl like Michaela Mestel. Starts on the basketball team. She was our volleyball player of the year. She's from Kearney Catholic. I mean, she also was in more than one event at state and won medaled. Uh-huh. The boys' side, there's guys like Brandon Benson from Axtell. I mean, he had a great track and field meet, played basketball, football team. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, there were three or four, even five people Buck and I were going back and forth with.
Any of the Minden kids I had to think would have to be, and Craig Driver breaks the pole vault record. He wasn't a big time scorer on basketball. He was a contributor on the football, but I wouldn't want to do it. And we always talk about this no matter who it is. Sometimes we disagree, but I wouldn't want to make those selections because for you guys in particular, you have one Class A school, and that's Kearney High.
Right.
So if you don't pick the best athlete from Kearney High, you catch crap from Kearney High people. And then you look at some of the kids that are in any of the other classes. So you're comparing, again, that age-old question, can the C or D athlete do the same thing at a Class A level? And I think sometimes the answer is definitely yes.
I agree.
As we talked about in wrestling, there's some sports, wrestling, and especially with the girls, I think it's a lot more even across the board.
I agree. You summed it up the best. I get a lot of phone calls. Buck gets phone calls, If a smaller school kid is chosen over a Kearney High kid, I mean, let's face it, we're the Kearney Hub. Most of our subscriptions are in Kearney, but that doesn't mean we don't get out and see kids in the area. We know how good those kids are, and they're definitely deserving of this award. And I'm trying to think. Josh Reinertsen, we had him what was that, 2 years ago? And he was our basketball player of the year. I mean, he was a kid. I don't care. I mean, a great golfer. Didn't do anything in the fall, but if anybody saw that kid play basketball, there's no way you can't tell me he couldn't start at Kearney High. And he was a good basketball player. You have guys.
We had Bryson Mahlberg, I think, a couple of years ago, where you've had some kids. The funny thing is, some of these kids in Axtell, maybe Swedberg, I can't remember exactly if they were just a singular sport athlete of the year or
or for the entire year. You had Sokolowski, obviously.
Last year was Pete Troush from Minden.
Yeah. You got kids that have went over and helped UNK win football games from Class D schools that probably weren't the athlete of the year in the Kearney Hub territory. So, and you've made a lot of great picks over the year because obviously Tony Davis never got one.
And when Buck and I were talking, we probably missed on one, Jared Crick from Cozad. He wasn't our athlete of the year, and that kid's gone on. And I think maybe he's even surprised not only us but other people who thought when he went to Nebraska, how much more we're going to hear from him, and he's really made a name for himself down there.
Do you remember who it was the year that Crick was a senior?
I don't. I'll find out today when I go back and look at the past
winners.
I
know Blake Cover would have been right before that, I think. So.
And who's going to argue with that pick?
Yeah.
Blake Cover was four-sport. Baseball doesn't figure into our athlete of the year. It's based on the high school season, but he was a four-sport stud.
Seth Blank, Kearney Hub, in for Big Daddy here on the Doug and Daddy Show Monday. Bob Jensen, special co-host. I'll be out at the Blue and Gold for UNK, the big fundraiser, over 270. In this case, it's golfers. I'd say at least half are golfers. And then there's some of the people on my team.
And guys like me.
Yeah, that go out there and donate and be part of UNK. And Metal Arc Hills and the Kearney Country Club, once again, will be full on Monday for what should be. I see the temperatures in the low 90s expected for
Monday. Oh, perfect.
Well, that ought to change.
Make sure you wear your jeans.
What do you think, snow?
Yeah, probably hail.
Going to go with snow. But Bob Jensen will be co-host with Big Daddy, plus John Natawa of the Omaha World Herald on the Darren Erstad hire and a lot more after the first weekend of regional play. And we'll see how Creighton does. Again, they play at 3 o'clock this afternoon against Georgia. Steve Pivovar of the Omaha World Herald is going to join us in just a couple of moments. But before we run out of time, you had something you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I talked to my friend Chris Baznett. The Ord Open was this last weekend, and Doug Duda, the very own. If anybody's seen Doug golf, he's far away from a scratch golfer. But what exactly happened, Doug, on the 6th tee box on Saturday? And if you don't tell me what happened, I'll tell you what happened.
I can't believe. People are coming up to me that I wouldn't think, even though we talk about this a lot, and you know, even though they're friends of mine, I'm going, how in the hell did you find out about this? Okay.
Let's get you started. You hit your tee shot out of bounds.
The 6th tee box at Ord Municipal, Ord Country Club, is on the west side of the course and borders the highway that would go from Ord to Burwell or Elaria or pick your towns, wherever you're going north.
Not Foster.
So I did try to play it safe with an iron and, of course, pushed it, and it hit the road, which is always fun. So, okay, here's one thing I don't understand. How do you not always carry a spare golf ball in your pocket? You got all the tees, you got all this crap.
Don't ask me, ask yourself.
Always have a ball in your pocket, which I do.
Okay.
Which I do. But some people of my handicap or worse never do. So they have to go back over to their bag or the cart and get a ball. Okay, that's not the case. So I, you know, it's going out of bounds. I grab the ball out of my pocket. I reach down to re-tee it. Well, the tee broke.
And what's your anger level on 1 to 10 at this point?
Oh, it's not bad.
Not bad yet?
It's not bad. Okay. No, it's not bad. So I reached down to re-tee it, but the tee's broke. So the ball's in my hand. I grab the tee out and flick it behind me like you do. You throw it off the tee box. The only problem was the golf ball was also in my hand, which normally anywhere else in the world, that wouldn't be a problem. So the ball goes flying. The tee goes flying. I turn around, and I already know what the hell happened. There's a big flowery bush. Not something you would see in your garden or at your house, but something that would envelop full human beings.
Are we talking like a big lilac bush?
It's just a big,
huge,
square,
okay,
bush. Yeah, that'd be good.
Thick. Must have been a thick bush.
I don't think it is lilac. Yeah, very thick.
Needed a trim.
And, of course, at this time, everybody's laughing about the ball going out of bounds, but they're also laughing that I've thrown the ball in the bush, which apparently was the funniest thing that happened all weekend, because now I am pissed. I have to walk back over because nobody can find the ball. I mean, it's impossible to find this golf ball. Somebody finally, when we came around on Sunday, and it was Baz, he had prepared. He put on the full garb.
He probably went out under the cloak of night to find it with a flashlight.
He goes, I see it. I can't get to it. I've got to get a club and go all the way around the other end and try and poke it out. It was like a 5-minute ordeal just to poke the ball. That's how, I mean, so anyway.
This conversation could get so worse.
That's what happened.
So did you take a lost ball? No. I mean, how does that work?
So
you did tee off again and hit the fairway?
And proceeded to take, I think I pulled it to the left rough and it proceeded to take an eight. So
then your round just got better, I'm sure, after that.
Yeah, that's how you shoot in the 90s, my friend.
Oh,
shooting the 90s.
Well, I'll give you a bonus. That's pretty good. Yeah. 90s after something like that.
Yeah, if it was par 72, sure. What made me feel better and will always make you feel better is a good meal, though. And Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend, is the place to pick up your quality steaks aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. USDA Choice certified Angus beef. And if you like chicken, they've got chicken grillers, bacon-wrapped chicken breasts, and lemon broilers as well. How about the flat iron steak, $9.29 a pound? Lemon broilers, $10.69 a pound. Yes, they're there for you, and it may be a few cents higher, but it's so much better. It is so outstanding. Don't screw up your time grilling with bad food. Make it great, folks. Garlic brats, jalapeno brats, there's always a large selection of fresh and smoked sausage. Check out their great availability of seafood, something different there as well. Troutman's, you can't do better than that, folks. Located on Highway 30 across from Bob's Superstore in Kearney. When we come back, we'll draw out the winner of our Big Dally Deli Combo and Steve Pivovar of the Omaha World Herald after this.
I am Professor Nathaniel Burke from the University of Farmers, hallowed Institute of Higher Insurance Learning, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? To save money on auto insurance, you must forego an agent and go it alone. Solo. Wits against the world. No compass. The answer is false. A Farmer's agent is trained by me to save you money.
Call a Farmer's agent to see how you can save on auto insurance. Find your local agent at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers.
Coverage not available in all areas.
Hey, Golic, you know why I stay at a La Quinta Inns and Suites when I'm on business trips?
Let me guess. The massive workspace, the reward program with fast, free nights. No, wait. The pillow top beds in every room.
No, those are good reasons.
Oh, I know. You make your own waffles.
No, that's why you love La Quinta.
Oh, waffles.
You're drooling, Golic. No, the real reason, after a night stay at La Quinta, I feel rested and ready. So whatever I'm there to do, I'm going to knock it out of the park. And that's funny because I'm a sports guy. Get it? Knock it out of the park?
Yeah, sports guy. More like idiot guy.
Was that called for?
La Quinta takes care of everything so you can take care of business.
Book your next successful stay at LQ.com.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get that hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
Let's play some football!
Hi, this is Mike Will inviting you to join me for the 53rd annual Shrine Bowl football game this Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Kickoff is set for 6:30.
We are here to win.
Pre-game show begins at 6:20 on Classic Hits 98.9 KKPR.
We'll see skies turn partly sunny across the area today with high temperatures in the mid-80s. Winds also turn to the north, staying around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Now there's an isolated chance of seeing a shower storm develop tonight with a low of 60. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Right now, 81.
Somebody bring me back the money, please.
Already a lot of baseball talk on the Doug and Daddy Show today with the hiring of Darren Erstad as Nebraska's new baseball coach yesterday. And we'll get Steve Pivovar's thoughts on that, but more with Steve of the Omaha World Herald on the field of 64 that will try to get to Omaha for the College World Series in 2 weeks. And the Creighton Blue Jays, who today open up the NCAA tournament in Corvallis, Oregon, taking on Georgia, which is a tough, tough ball club, even though they're one game above 500 out of the SEC, the most powerful conference in the country. And Steve, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Sure appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, of course, Steve was going to be on yesterday, but dental work and all of central Nebraska wants to make sure that you're okay out in Oregon. Everything went okay?
Everything went fine. I'm back to I have that million-dollar smile again.
Well, Steve, I guess let's start with your thoughts, because I know Ed Service's name was out there. There was a whole lot of names out there. But in the last 24 hours, boy, I'm sure hearing that Darren Erstad was the man all the time. Your thoughts on Erstad being named the new head coach at Nebraska?
Well, I guess from my perspective, it comes as maybe just a tad bit of a shock, only because no one really knew where Darren stood on the job from the the fact that, you know, here's a guy who had a long major league career. He came back this past season to, you know, basically volunteer his time to his alma mater. You just didn't know if the guy was, you know, going to really interested in taking on the full-time grind that is a college head coach. So I guess, you know, we had heard his name being bantied about. We had heard a lot of other names being thrown into the mix. And, you know, I think a lot of people thought, well, if Darren really wants it, he'd probably be the guy that they'd be leaning towards. But again, until they actually made the announcement, nobody really knew if Darren was willing to take on that challenge.
Steve Pivovar of the Omaha World-Herald's with us on Doug and Daddy here on ESPN Radio. Steve, did you ever get a sense that Ed Servais was ever legitimately in this search?
I talked to Ed before they went out to Oregon, and he told me he had not heard from Nebraska. Now, whether that was because they were in the midst of the Missouri Valley Tournament when this first broke, they were right after they won it, they were found out they were going to the NCAA tournament. He didn't know if it was because they just weren't interested or they were having the courtesy of not contacting him until after the season was over. But obviously, if he was even thought about, the fact that they hadn't contacted him makes me think that he must not have been high on their list.
Let's talk about the Creighton program that he has built this year, 44-14. I get the sense that a lot of Nebraska fans outside of Omaha only know that Creighton lost two of their three games to Nebraska this year, and they know that Nebraska wasn't a very good baseball team. But yet Creighton, 44-14, conference champions, and a lot of the national pundits say what a great draw for Creighton going out to Corvallis. Your thoughts on Creighton's regional?
I think it's a regional that they're going into with the belief that it's not going to take a Herculean effort to win it. They're going to have to continue to play as they have all year, good baseball. They're going to need to rely on the two hallmarks of Ed's program, pitching and defense, to get them through this thing. But at the same time, I don't think they feel that you know, in 2007, they went down, they had to play Arkansas, which had three guys that were first-round draft choices on their pitching staff. The year they played in the Lincoln Regional, that was a team that had Alex Gordon and Jabba Chamberlain and a bunch of other guys that were very, very good college baseball players. So those tasks were somewhat daunting. That's not to underestimate the challenge that's facing them this weekend. But at the same time, I get a little different read from being around the coaches and even the players that they feel that if they continue to play as they have all year, that they have an excellent shot at advancing on.
What about today's game with Georgia, the pitching matchup? Just your thoughts on how they match up with the Bulldogs.
Well, Georgia's starting their ace. He's a guy that Creighton knows isn't going to give them a lot of free stuff, one of the best control pitchers in college baseball. Creighton's going with Jonas Dufek. He and Ty Block had been basically their co-aces, basically. Block had been the Friday night guy for most of the year, with Jonas being in the Saturday slot. Towards the end of the year, just because of some matchups, they kind of switched the roles around. Jonas kind of assumed that first starter role, but they have great confidence in both of them. And again, I think that's one of the things that's different about this club is that they know they have two quality arms to start off a tournament. And when you're talking about a four-team regional, or if they're fortunate enough to advance a best-of-three super regional, when you have two quality arms that could get you a couple of wins, you could be sitting in fairly decent shape.
Steve Pivovar, the Omaha World Herald, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He follows all of the collegiate baseball scene. But one more question before we move on to the national field. He's also following Creighton for a number of years. Your sense, Steve, of how good this is. Anytime Creighton gets in, Omaha fans want to get that team back to the College World Series. Some people that I'm reading don't think Oregon State's the toughest number one seed out there. How surprised would you be if Creighton is playing next weekend?
I guess I wouldn't be shocked. Again, this team is built for the tournament format, the four-team regional, where if you can win those first two games, you're basically in the driver's seat. Again, the next week when you advance to the super regionals, it's two out of three. If you have two top frontline pitchers, they can take you a long way. Having said that, do I expect Creighton to be one of the final eight teams standing? I wouldn't put any money on that one. But this is a team I think is better suited for the task at hand than maybe they were in 2005, 2007. It's just a thing where, everybody's got a good frontline pitcher. But, when you get into regional play, if that guy goes out and gets beat, then all of a sudden it kind of casts that feeling on everybody that, oh, man, this is going to really be an uphill battle. So now Creighton's got these two guys that they feel equal in ability, that they can beat just about anybody in the country. So even if Jonas falters in today's game, they're going to be feeling pretty good about the guy they'll be able to bring back in must-win situations. So that's probably the difference. Again, I don't think you'd be putting him into the final eight with ballpoint pen, but it wouldn't be the ultimate shocker if somehow they would find a way to get here.
And for the fans out there, Vanderbilt's the number one seed on the other side, and Oklahoma State's the number two seed. Should they get into a super regional, it would probably be against one of those schools. Steve, Virginia, outside of one rough weekend against Carolina, has dominated this season. Do you, as most of the country has seen, do you believe they are the number one team in college baseball, even though they might not have the easiest road to Omaha? Do you expect them to be leading the charge over this next two weekends?
They're my pick for to win the national championship. They've been consistent throughout the year. To go throughout the entire collegiate baseball season and only lose nine games, that speaks of that consistency. They had the little hiccup right before the ACC tournament when they got swept down in North Carolina, but they bounced back. They have all the ingredients to put together a title run. But the big thing that's standing in their way, if they win their regional and UCLA wins their regional, that's going to be a heck of a super regional, because UCLA has those two guys in Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer at the front of the rotation that are definite difference makers. They're two guys that are probably going to go in the top 10 picks in next week's draft. When you got a couple of horses like that, they can put momentum on your side very quickly. And so I know Brian O'Connor, the Virginia coach, said all the right things about the challenge that's awaiting him. But at the same time, I know he's got to be grumbling a little bit under his breath about the way the tournament was bracketed and having them in the same super regional as possibly a team such as UCLA.
Just a minute left here with Steve Pivovar of the Omaha World Herald. So, Steve, I'll let you kind of pick our last topic here. I see there's six Big 12 teams in there. No reason to even talk about Illinois out of the Big 10 where Nebraska's going. A lot of people love to follow Arkansas and Dave Van Horn. They think that's a winnable regional with Arizona State maybe not being as tough as they've been in the past. What else stood out to you now that you've broke down this bracket?
Unlike some recent past years, there doesn't seem to be the same kind of strength out west as there's been in recent years. I wouldn't be surprised to see this be a tournament dominated by ACC, SEC schools. In picking eight teams to get to Omaha. I did get Texas here. I had Texas A&M possibly advancing, but they lost their ace to a shoulder injury right before the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah.
That's hard to overcome at this point of the year. It should be a lot of good, fun baseball, not only these next 2 weeks as they go through the regional and super regional, but by the time those eight get to Omaha, it should be a very entertaining College World Series.
And finally, Steve, I know you're going to be a big part of a NET special that's coming up here in a couple of weeks, Rosenblatt, the final inning. Anybody that watched any of those Nebraska-Creighton games on NET saw the promo tons of times. Rosenblatt now is beyond us. We're going into TD Ameritrade. Give us a little insight to what you know about that special coming up that you were a part of.
Well, I'm really anxious to see it. I know the NET people are very proud of the process that they went about in assembling this documentary. I think it's going to be a fun thing. They talked to all the principals. I don't know why they talked to me, but they did have me on. And, you know, for a guy who Rosenblatt Stadium has a special place in my heart, I'm just eager to see the final product because I know it's going to be well done. It's going to tell the story of that stadium. And who knows, with the great flood coming and possibly flooding the pitcher's mound at TD Ameritrade, they may have to go back to Rosenblatt this year.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
We hope it would be.
We hope it's not the case. But, boy, everybody stay safe in Omaha. Enjoy your time today and throughout the weekend in Corvallis. And hopefully we can keep the Blue Jays playing into next weekend. Steve, we sure appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Enjoy the baseball.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Pivovar, extended interview here on the Doug and Daddy Show as he's out in Corvallis. And Seth Blank in from the Kearney Hub is co-host today. Shaquille O'Neal having some fun already at his press conference. I know we're over time, but you know what? Who cares? We're glad to have you along with us on the program today. And Seth, one thing before we forget, who's our winner of Big Dally Deli this week?
I think we have to give it to Mark and Minden.
All right. Mark and Minden is the winner of a large combo meal from Big Dally Deli, two locations in Hastings and one in Kearney, top of the hill. You did some research on the Hub Athletes of the Year of recent times.
Sort of.
Who beat out Jared Crick?
Lance Sorrell from Loomis.
That would be funny to the guys in the big city, wouldn't it? But no doubt, there's no doubt Sorrell at that time, you know,
he was a stud. Three sports.
Everything he did. And let's face it, he actually had a little bit more playing time than Crick in his first year at Nebraska. Now, Jared has done great things, and they kid each other. They're both great athletes.
Yeah, I was looking back. 06 would have been Axtell's Eric Gustafson. 07 was Thorell. 08, Kearney High's Brett Maher. 09, Michael Klingensmith from Kearney Catholic. And last year was Pete Trausch, offensive lineman. Big guy with soft hands. Not quite Shaq, but he definitely took up space in the paint for Minden. So
we were joking there. How big do you think Shaq's going to get now that he doesn't have to go into a regular workout routine going through practice and stuff?
Well, let's consider he's got to be over 300 pounds now with his height.
He'll be close to 400.
He hides it. I was going to say 400.
I think he's got to be close
to
this
now. How fat do you think? I mean, that frame can probably put on some fat. I guarantee you that. But
this might be a better question suited for Daddy.
It would be.
I don't know. Anything else that you needed to bring up today?
Other than I would sure love to go golfing this afternoon, but I don't think I'm going to make it work.
Damn work. We hate that. We hate that. Folks, we hope you have a great weekend, a short week, which is great. Everybody loves that. And maybe the weather's going to pan out and you can go wherever you want and do whatever you want with whoever you want. And we'll be back on Monday.
I'm going to go throw my ball in a bush and have someone else get it out with a stick.
Thank you. That's what happened to me last weekend. It's so great. We thank Ord Wrestling Coach Derry Trampy, part of the coaching squad of the West team for the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association. The duel tomorrow at Grand Island at 1 o'clock. And congratulations to all the Hall of Famers and honorees from the area with the banquet at 5 tomorrow. Also, Mark Waller from Lincoln North Star. He is the North coach for the Shrine Bowl tomorrow night on Classic Hits 98.9. And, of course, to Steve Pivovar of the Omaha World Herald, John Natawa of the Omaha World Herald to talk about Darren Erstad's hiring at Nebraska on Monday. Bob Jensen will co-host from Huskerland Prep. He's always great. He'll be in with Big Daddy. And I'll be at UNK Blue Gold watching other people hit good shots.
Throwing balls in bushes.
Seth Blank, Kearney Hub, thanks for the time, buddy.
Thank you, Doug.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.